turn it on. It helps. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get underway in a minute. Good morning, everybody. Shabbat Shalom. I don't know why where everybody is, but here comes the crew. Here comes the posse. Let's give a round of applause for the posse has arrived. The sheriff has arrived. All right. The Lone Ranger, just in time. Hallelujah. All right, are we online? Okay, Shabbat Shalom, folks online. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is for Zion's Sake Ministries, our Yehuda Messianic congregation. I want to welcome you to our service today. It's a little different today. We have Deborah Klein and Vince Iantorno with us today. And so we have a special presentation for you. And I may bring a word at the end of it. And we're glad you're with us. So enjoy, stay, and enjoy the music and the testimony that you hear and whatever the Lord brings forth. So God bless you, and please like us on Facebook. Amen. For Zion's Sake Ministries. Hallelujah. All right. You all ready to get started? Okay. All right. Well, I just want to just share what I know about you all. You guys were with Beth Emunah originally?
No, Beth Ariel.
Beth Ariel. Then did you go to Beth Emunah?
We have friends there.
Okay.
Lots of friends there.
I'm going to let you tell your story. But I just want to say this is a lovely couple that we've had. Gosh, now it's the third or fourth time that you've been with us. And so they moved from California, and they moved to, they like the states around here. They've been to South Carolina and North Carolina. And we tried to get them to move to Tennessee. They're getting closer. Gradually, they're getting closer, but
too cold
in Tennessee. I guess they haven't been to North Carolina, but I'm just kidding. Let's welcome Vince and Deborah.
Well, hi everybody. Yes, it's Shabbat Shalom, and it's awesome to be here. And this is one of the things, you know, we love Joe. We love Joe, and we talk back and forth on Facebook and so forth and so on. And he's like, anytime you guys want to come, and I'm like, you know, one thing that we realized when we came here the first time, this is not just a congregation. To us, you guys are family. And so we are just so blessed to we are so blessed to see you guys. It's like we love the drive here and really look forward to seeing you guys and worshiping with you guys. And and hi everybody on Facebook. I'm going to ask everybody, it's a little chilly, you know, being from Southern California originally. I'm not quite used to waking up in 30-something degrees weather. So let's all stand and warm up, and hopefully my computer won't die again. We've had a little thing going on, so... And we rebuke that.
Don't even mention it. It's gone.
Oh. All right, we are just going to lift up the name as we're starting a whole new season. This is a season of thanksgiving, a season of miracles, and always a season to remember how much our Lord loves us and that all of us who believe in him, we know this is the year of the Lord's favor.
Israel.
Wow, Wendell, you really blow that shofar well. I have tried and tried, and I sound like a dying elephant. So we are going to give you guys a little sneak peek, because we are working on a new CD. And this is a new song that came to Vince. He was just picturing, as he was reading the Word of God, all of us, all the way out to the islands, worshiping together as one.
All four corners of the earth.
All. And we will worship him. It's called Your People Rejoice.
What it might look like close to the millennium or in the millennium.
Are you all ready to go up to the mountain to worship the Lord? Imagine what it's going to be like, the party when the Lord returns, and we are together as one, and all the nations going up to the mountain on Sukkot, all of us together. That's going to be amazing.
Hallelujah.
So actually, that song really did come to him during the Sukkot time. So it's brand new. And we give thanks because we know what it's going to be like when the Lord is reigning alone, because the enemy will be locked away. But Lord, I just feel this sense of thanksgiving to you. Lord, we often take for granted everything, even the air that we breathe. We take for granted rain. And then we have other places that really need rain. But at one time, you know, we've just managed to take things for granted. And Lord, for that, we're sorry, because to look out like King David as a child would look up at the stars and just grab his harp and worship you, just a simple shepherd boy praising you for all of creation. So Lord, we need to step back, and I pray that as this season begins, that we could all look to you despite whatever baggage we have and put it away, because we're not taking that baggage with us when you call us home. But just stop to look up at the stars, to smell the roses, and to be thankful for every breath, for every brother and sister you have put in our life. All that we have, Lord, comes from you.
Amen.
So we lift our eyes to the mountain. For where does our help come from? It comes from you, Lord. It comes from your grace. It comes from your peace. It comes from your hope. It comes from your promise.
It comes from your grace.
It comes from your grace.
It comes from your peace. It comes from your hope.
It comes from your hope.
It comes from your promise.
Oh,
it comes from your love.
It comes from your love.
Lord, that you call us your children and you call us your friends. May we always follow you whenever you call us, even when we're scared, even when you call us from California to North Carolina and then say, well, you're going to go even farther south. You're going to go to South Carolina. Oh, okay.
Or all the way to Israel, right?
And all the way to Israel. And we have friends with our other ministry, which is Israel Food Outreach, traveling. Actually, they went during the day of the bombings. And so we do pray. Let's take just a moment. Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Lord. We pray for the shalom that only Messiah Yeshua can bring to our people. May they all come to know that Yeshua is Ben Elohim, the Son of God.
The veil be lifted.
Yes, Lord. Please, Lord, begin awakening them. May they have dreams and visions, just as your word says, just as some of us have had, to know that you are real, that you are their Savior. You are the promised Messiah. You are the Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
Sar Shalom. Amen. Lord, we lift up your people, the apple of your eyes, and may their enemies be scattered. Scattered, Lord. And Lord, we pray for a mighty intervention as you always have done. As they say, there is nothing new under the sun. And wow, when you come back, will all eyes see and every tongue confess that you are the Lord. Mm-hmm. We pray that day will come soon, Bo Yeshua. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And Lord, we will choose to follow you. Just as to know you. sing. Lord, yes. Let's just lift up our voices in prayer and in thanksgiving. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for your miracles. We thank you for your love, Lord. We thank you for all who you are, loving us despite who we are, Lord. Lord, we thank you that. And I have to say this, you know, I know that we are being shown on Facebook. And so those of you on Rabbi Joe's live stream and on his Facebook, you all know what he's been going through. And I want to tell you that I did not know what to expect, what he was going to look like when I got here. I'm telling you, he looks better than I've seen him in a long time. And so
hallelujah.
All of you, and I've seen, because I've been a part joining you all in prayer. I know, I thank you. I know Don thanks you. Rabbi thanks you. He looks great. So let's just continue to lift him up. And this is a time where I know many are struggling. One of the girls who is singing background vocals on pretty much all of my CDs, my sister Lola, has been going through chemo as well. She's been diagnosed with stage 4 liver cancer. And but her markers are looking better. She is a woman of God. And as a matter of fact, I know many of you know our the song that we recorded the name. Then I always tell you that our friends, Chuck and Lola, when you look on the credits, who wrote the words to these songs, to that song. And I want you, just by hearing the words of the next song we're going to do, and I'm so grateful that we were allowed to work together on this song. She is a woman of God. They are a couple of God. And so please keep Lola in your prayers as well. She is, I think, maybe 52, just turned 52. She's young. And she's got too beautiful of a voice, too beautiful of songs in her heart. And I know that she too will be a testimony to many of the miraculous healing and how our Lord keeps his promises. Because he says, when we are gathered together, he is in our midst. He says, when we pray, he will answer. And so let's keep Rabbi in our prayers and Lolita in our prayers, and many others who are suffering right now, whether it be finances or it be health, or it could be that we're struggling with our kids. It could be that we're struggling with our parents. Yep. Sometimes parents make mistakes too. They get overwhelmed and they have to leave for a time. But you know what? You pray. Pray for your parent. Pray for your moms. Pray for your dads. And Lord, we lift up all the youth right now that are living amidst a time that they're confused between reality and virtual reality, having to look out on social media for acceptance, for likes, for approval with virtual friends. It just sounds wacko. It really does. And Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for this generation. We see birth pangs of what is to come. But us as believers need to stand firm in the word of God. We need to pray for one another. Always. We need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to never cease to be in the word of God. And Lord, forgive us sometimes when we're so busy that we didn't have time to read and listen from you for a day. We are sorry, Lord. We humbly ask for your forgiveness, because we're not too proud to say we stumble too, because we do. Even us in ministry, we stumble. We're sinners. We sin against you. are sorry. We want to take this time, this season, to thank you for all who you are, for your grace and your mercy, even when we stumble. We lift up your name through the good, through the bad, through the scary, through the sad times. We still praise you, for you are God. You alone are God and worthy. You alone are worthy of our prayers. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And shall we never forget, you keep your promises. So we lift up your name in song and in the word. Bless your mighty name, Yeshua, Messiah. Amen. Amen. Speak the name that saves the soul. Speak the name that makes you whole. Speak the name that holds the worlds together. Yeshua, no other name that I hold above all others. Yeshua, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Dying feet on a cross to know he be. name, everyone. And let him meet you. Let him meet you. Let him heal your heart.
Prince of life, Prince of peace,
King of worlds and eternity, Son of God, Son of man, and Lamb of God, the great I am. Beautiful, wonderful, faithful, Lord of all, mighty God, Holy One, Messiah, hope of Zion, Creator, Healer, Savior, Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, the King of kings, the promised and soon coming, Jesus.
I don't usually ask this, but does anyone have a Kleenex by chance? Oh, awesome. You have a matzah, huh?
You're famous, you know that.
Oh. Wow. All right, I want to see everyone rejoice. Rejoice for who he is, right? And so, you know, those of you who know me know that, you know, we're all made unique. And we, Vince and I, love all styles of music. And you all know that I'm a German, Jewish, Polish Jew on my dad's side. And a feisty Puerto Rican Jew on my mother's side. So it would be fair to say that, yes, I do love salsa, and I love Hebrew. So we're going to do one of the newer songs.
She loves me also.
I love you more than all those things. Lord, first, and then you, my baby.
I'll take that.
That's my man.
I'll take that.
That's my man, ladies. Let us rejoice. Hashem Melech. Oh, let me put this up here, because don't make me move around all by myself here, okay? You guys can do it. Get up there and dance. Let's all rejoice!
Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Imlach, Leolam Vaed. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Imlach, Leolam Vaed. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Imlach, Leolam Vaed. Hallel Hashem Elohim, Yagadim Betoda. Hallel Hashem Elohim, Yagadim Betoda. Behe, Beba, Behe, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Behe, Beba. go, Rabbi. Rabbi, do we have time to do a couple more songs? Oh, he's like, go for it, girl. Oh, man. You know, before we continue, I'm a little kind of tangled here, but I'm trying. I am really trying. But
be careful.
Yeah. I'm not going to plug.
Can we all pray now that they don't take any cords out?
That could be what the problem was, and but anyway, yeah, you y'all know. Last time I came, well, I was in Cornelius, North Carolina, but we found a home congregation that is right for us. It's Hope of Israel in the Ballantyne, Charlotte area. So we ended up moving right over the border, less taxes, less for gas. Anyway, we live now in over the border in South Carolina. So the Lord's just turning us into Southerners, and
we're in Carol's old stomping grounds.
Yes, we are, and we absolutely are beginning to love it here. I have to tell you that when we first moved here. As Sam Nadler says, you know, what does he call it?
The flyover state.
You just fly over. Oh, the flyover states. You know, everybody just sort of flies over.
Oh,
you know,
that's
they go
stunning.
From California to Florida or
New York,
you know. But I'm loving it. I love the people. And we had just moved here when we met y'all.
So she's getting it down
and
now.
I'm getting it down. And so you were all a big part of us getting to see what it was going to be like to live out here. So I love it. Wendell, I just wish you lived closer, man. Sometimes I just need to laugh. I need to laugh. And I love your spirit. And your heart, yours and Maria's heart. You guys and Deb, you know, you are all, to me, family. That's why I was really excited that Joe and I could get another date to come out here. When we were driving, we were like, isn't that weird? It's like you don't see your relatives for a while, but you kind of get really excited to see them. And that's how we have felt in seeing you guys today. So,
And praise God, I believe there's a dinner after, right? Whoa, okay, family dinner. Oh, I love it.
Thanksgiving. Those of you who are not here, you are missing out on a Thanksgiving feast. More for us. And yes, I have kind of gained a couple pounds since moving to the South. Y'all don't know what cooking is. Okay?
Those biscuits are mighty good.
Oh, they are.
Dang
but,
biscuits.
You know, oftentimes you wonder when you think your life is going just fine, you wonder why you would just get called out of that situation. And we were called out. And I think I told you that when God started to tell us that it was time to come to the Carolinas, our first instinct was a place called Fort Mill, South Carolina, which is where we are in that area. But, you know, we sold our house right away. Everything was just, yeah, God called, said, you're doing it. Everything was great. And we chickened out. We got scared. And we went to Northern California. We got out of Southern California, but we got scared to just go all the way to the right coast.
We kind of went like this. We're heading east, and then all of a sudden, our plane went the other way. What can we do?
So we ended up going, well, okay, so it's kind of...
I think the pilot was in training or something.
So we ended up not obeying, even though we thought, okay, maybe he just wanted us out of Southern California. So the day that we were moving in to our house was very interesting. The movers are coming in with all the things. I'm in my new kitchen, dancing around my new house, overlooking all of, we had an incredible view on top of the hill, overlooking straight down all the way to the coastal range. And then from the front window, you would look out and look up at the beautiful Sierra Nevada. And so I'm dancing in my new house, and I'm like, ooh, this is great, and the movers are coming in with the boxes, and I'm shifting boxes around as I'm dancing, doo-doo. And then I heard something. And I heard water. And within seconds, it's raining in my kitchen. Mm-hmm. So we had a major flood. The house was a flip, and they flipped it all right, and they got debris in a toilet, which one of the movers used, and so it, mind you, you would think up in the mountains, it's cool in the summer. No, this was in the summer, this was in August. It was hot as Hades. It was like 115 degrees, and, so in a sense, the water kind of felt good physically, but I yell out, Vince! You know, because I don't know where he is.
Blood-curdling scream.
He comes running in.
What?
And he's like, oh, crap. Okay, I mean. So, needless to say, we did not get to spend the night in that house. We made our very first insurance claim. Well, we flooded, you know, we got these things fixed, but we flooded, by the way, three times in the year and a half that we were there. Because also, apparently, we couldn't understand why his studio, where we record and do a lot of writing, water just kept coming in through the walls.
Every time it rained. And it turned out, when they repaired it, because it was a flip, so I think they asked the realtor, well, what do you want us to do here? It's messed up. And he said, well, what quick fix can you do? So they put Bondo around the windows.
And that they did all the siding in Bondo, kind of patching it in Bondo. So needless to say, Bondo fell off.
Needless to say, we moved to North Carolina.
So, you know, often I get, what I was getting at with that was often we hear a call, and yes, we need to make sure that it's God speaking and not us speaking. And sometimes we get scared because we can't see what the Lord sees. You know, I have a vision of the Lord standing up here, okay, so he can see behind, straight down, and forward. He sees everything that was, everything that is, and everything that can come. You know, it's a different... That's how I have this vision sometimes of the Lord just looking down, and he can see everything from past, from the beginning to eternity. But we don't have that vantage point. And sometimes we run and we get scared and we don't listen once we're sure. Well, if I wasn't sure, if we weren't sure about running to Northern California instead of heading to the Carolinas, the Lord showed us. Oh, yes, it is. You're going to flood. So we did come. And I have to tell you, it's been wonderful. And my daughter just recently told us she met her Southern man, who we like very much.
I think you forgot to tell him one little detail.
Oh, go ahead.
Our daughter and her two kids came with us, and they live with us for the past 2 years.
Once there was two, now there's five. But... she's getting married. She met her Southern man. She has a new job and works for the United States Postal Service. I have a new respect for the mailman and mailwoman. I will tell you, those of you who are watching, I have a new respect for you. I did not know. I thought you just... No. Okay. But... she's doing fantastic. And those of you who have prayed for her, thank you with all my heart. She is on fire for the Lord. She reads the word every day. She prays every day, starts her day with asking the Lord what he would want of her. And Eric used to be on a worship team. And so, you know, this Jewish believer stuff is all new to him, and he is so full of questions, and he is like, wow. I mean, he's amazed. So it's all off to a good start. So we think spring or summer, well, we may have to downsize, but we'll see. We'll just see what's, at least there's room for them now to come and visit. But, you know, so what I'm saying is, listen, once you're sure that it's the Lord speaking and not you, listen. Listen. Follow him. He has nothing but the best, wonderful things in store for you. And so I just wanted to give you that update.
Rabbi wants to do a little intermission.
Oh, okay. No. We're good. I am. I wound it down. I just basically wanted to let everyone know, you know, once you're sure, listen. He knows what he's doing. We don't. And we don't need to be scared. But he also knows that we're human. He also knows that we're human and that we do have fears, but we need to let go and have faith and trust. And we put our faith and trust in you, Yeshua.
Test 1, 2. Shabbat shalom, everyone. That was a an awesome word that she just gave, and it's a word I've been teaching consistently throughout over time, to obey the Lord when the Lord calls you, you know, and to obey Him, to follow Him, to go where He tells you to go. And you got to go blind. When you go, you got to go blind. You don't know. You can't. If you have to know where it is God's taking you, if you have to know what job is waiting for you, if you have to know, He has to open a door. And did He open a door for you, Deborah?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, how did you know you were supposed to be in the Carolinas or in this area? So you just, people were calling you, you felt called to come here, and people were inviting you to come, but you didn't have a promise of a $100,000 a year job, did you?
Quite the opposite. Even rougher than in California, because we're in the South.
So you came by faith, you came blind, in trust. You had whatever you had to live on, you know, whatever your savings you had your house, you know, whatever you sold your house, you know, and that's what you came with, right?
And that's
the way it is when God calls you.
Yeah, it wasn't even fully paid for. I wish it would have been, but we have to do it. And we came with three others depending on
with
us.
Three other young with a daughter
and my two grandkids.
And two grandkids, and they came without a promise. Specific promise, amen? You know, and I came here 20 years ago the same way with my wife. I had my savings. God called me to start a ministry here 21 years ago. Came 20 years ago, almost 20. We're in the 21st year now. And I didn't come with a promise of an $80,000 a year job. I left one. I left an $80,000 a year job. My wife left a job, and I want to congratulate my wife today. Dawn, stand. Come on up here for a second.
Woo! Captain Dawn.
Captain Dawn. You know, my father, it was Veterans Day this past week, and my father was a captain in the Army Air Corps in the Second World War. He fought Rommel through the desert. He helped run an Air Force base they didn't have an Air Force back then. They just had an Army Air Corps. And my dad he helped run a base, and he was Captain Bell. He retired from the Army as a major, but he was during the war, he was Captain Bell, and he loved Dawn deeply. He really loved her.
Yeah.
He adored her, and he would be so proud. I believe he knows that she's the next Captain Bell in the family.
Yeah.
No, you can't say anything. No. Yes, you can say so. You want to use my mic, or you want to use this Deborah's mic? Just talk into it, honey. Just speak into it.
All right.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your prayers. And Rabbi, what we're talking about, you know, trusting God for the next step in our lives, and God's always challenging us. And one of the things, you know, as I'm going through this, really, it's a wonderful thing to think about, but to actually go through is not very pleasant. What I've been through in the last 4 months as far as training, you know, the checking and all that you have to do to get to this point is not easy. I'd like to say it was, but it's not. And even though I have all this experience, there's always more to learn. So, you know, trusting God, I've got this little book that I've been really, you know, using during my devotions. It says, keep calm and trust God. And God's shown me, you know, if you don't take hold of the challenge that God gives you, okay, you'll never know what things that He had in store for you to learn, to bless other people, and to expand your own personal horizons with Him. And so I want to challenge you, because sometimes we get things like Deborah's saying, you know, God says, okay, this is the next step. And that had kind of been the way it was for me for flying. You know, we all know that this congregation is, we've been through some difficult times in the last 2 to 3 years. I mean, we're not overflowing with, you know, 500 people. And obviously we thought 20 years ago, surely our congregation would grow a little more than that, right? But the promise was that I would go back into flying. So part of the reason I think that we've been pared down to practically nothing is to force me to go back into flying, because I don't think if we had grown that I would have done it, because there would have been too many responsibilities we would have been provided for. But we got so lean, and Rabbi needed help. We needed a little more income. And we knew the promise. So when the opportunity came, I said, push the button, and I got 3 interviews. And it just happened, you know. So everything has happened more quickly than it ever would have happened in any other time in aviation for me to go from the point I did last year to now. I mean, even to become a captain within a year is almost unheard of. In the airline industry, you wait for years for that opportunity to upgrade to captain. And then the next thing is, you know, going to the airlines. I've already interviewed with United, and they've already accepted me. I just have to get through 1,000 hours flying as a captain with this smaller airline. So that's, back to where I was is almost a miracle. It's happening. I'm halfway there. You know, I was with Northwest flying DC-10s 20 years ago, and I tell that to everybody. They look at me. You were a flight engineer on a DC-10? What's a DC-10, they ask me. Oh, that thing, see that thing that FedEx is flying right there? That's a DC-10. Oh, okay, never seen one of those. I didn't realize that was a DC-10. I'm flying with kids, you know.
With the big engine on the tail.
Yeah, I'm flying with kids. They're like, you know, 30, 35, some 20. I flew with a 23-year-old once. He was the captain. What a bright, smart guy. I mean, they're all smart. So anyway, I just want to challenge you, and let's all walk through those doors that God's opening for us. What adventure are we going to have next? And that is, you know, adventure requires us to take a risk, right? It requires us to take a little bit of a risk. Something might happen, something bad might happen on the other side. But if God's opening the door, let's trust him,
amen.
Okay, that he's going to catch us and he's going to keep us. So keep calm and trust God, and let's grow together. Let's go together. Let's go to the next level together as a congregation, okay? All right. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Thank
amen.
You.
Thank you, honey. And on the flip side of that, I just want to say, when we were called here,
yes.
We didn't experience leanness. We gave up fatness. You had a job with a major airline. I had a sales job, and I was interviewing with Pillsbury or something in Minnesota.
Right.
You were going to fly. You were living in Minnesota with Northwest Airlines, you know, we had a very good life ahead of us, a very prosperous life. If she'd stayed, she'd probably be a captain on a jumbo jet now. And for 20 years, she'd probably be getting ready to retire, you know, and we'd be finished with our career and ready to go travel the world at 55, you know. But
yeah,
my
friend Joan at Delta, who I went to Northwest with, she just went through captain of grade school, and she's a captain on an Airbus right now. So that was my friend.
Amen.
That I went to Northwest with in the beginning.
So we didn't start out walking. Some go by leanness because the flood, the house floods, and you realize God's saying, hello, this isn't where I'm sending you, Jonah. You know, you know, we didn't. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes, like Dawn said, the congregation drew down some so that her responsibilities decreased here, and she was able to go. It enabled her to leave and go fly. If that hadn't happened, she wouldn't have been able to do it, right? And the Lord, I've been saying to her and to the congregation, those of you who know me, I've been saying for 20 years, our Rebbetzin, so I was going to talk about today, she's going to leave, she's going to fly jets again. I've been saying it, raise your hand if you've heard me say it in the last 20 years. I've been saying she's going to leave and fly, she's going to fly jets again, and she's going to fly, help fly our people. And I believe that means Jewish people, Messianic Jewish people, Messianic non-Jewish people, Christians who love Messianic people, Jewish people, Christians who love not just Israel, but who love Jewish people. There's a difference between loving Jewish things and loving Jewish people. And there are many groups out there that imitate Jewish stuff, but they don't really love Jewish people. And you can't, I don't think you can separate the two. I see there's too much in the scripture where the whole book of Acts is about bringing Jew and Gentile together. And that's what, you know, the whole thing, the Jerusalem Council was about bringing Jew and Gentile, how to bring us together. And that's why Paul went and argued with, you know, before the Jerusalem Council, and James gave his declaration. You know, as long as the Gentiles avoid strangulation, animals that are strangled, and avoid fornication, and avoid blood, eating food that's sacrificed to idols, as long as they do that, we can have fellowship with the Gentiles who are coming in. He says, and if they want more, if they want to go to the synagogue and they want to learn the Torah, you know, 2/3 of the New Testament is the Torah. This is the Torah right here. this is the Old Testament. This is 5 books of Moses, and it's what it looked like in the days of Paul. That's what the Bible. Whoops. Well, it's okay. It's open. That's what the Bible looked like in the days of Paul. It was scrolls, and Paul said, "Bring me my scrolls." You know, he had sent one of his disciples, said, "Bring me the scrolls." You know, that's what the Bible was 2,000 years ago. And they were handwritten, and they're very expensive. Today they cost about $30,000 to $50,000 for a new one, a brand new one, a used one, you know, can be $5,000, $8,000. You know, they're not cheap. So the average person didn't have a Bible in those days, and so the average person, James said, if you want the Torah, if you want Moses, you want to learn the Bible, go to the synagogue. So he said to him, if you read Acts 15, he said, go to the synagogue, for Moses is preached in every city. Now, some will be out there saying, well, I don't want to hear Moses because Christ is the end of the law. Well, you need to throw out 2/3 of your New Testament, because every scripture that Jesus quoted or Paul quoted was from the Old Testament. Even love your neighbor as yourself is Leviticus 19:17. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind is Deuteronomy 6:5. The two greatest commandments are in the Old Testament. So many things in the Old Testament, the whole New Testament, any scripture that was quoted from the New Testament was taken from the Old Testament. Amen? So if you throw out the root of the tree is going to die. If you cut off the root of the plant, it's going to die. Amen? If you kill the root, it's going to die. And the root is Jewish. The root is Jewish. So you can't throw the Jew out and expect to have some kind of new funky new faith called Christianity that you got these cool names, really cool names, you know. Whatever, everything seems to be point this day. Point this, something this point, that point, you know, or the, you know, the river, you know, I don't, give me something, give me a name. I don't want to name specific names, but give me, what's that? Oh, Center Point. Okay, so there's a church named Center Point in this town. We got Cross Point, we got Center Point, we got Grace Point. I mean, and my question is, what's the point? If you cut off the root, if you take the Jewish root out from underneath, you're missing what the rich, Jesus said, if you read Romans 11, you're missing the rich fat of the olive tree. If you cut off the root, or you just ignore it. And that's what so many in the church today do, is they ignore the root. You know, I was amazed, and Fred sent this to me, Southwest Radio Bible Church, which is something Dr. Noah Hutchings, you know, some of you may know him, and Larry Spargimino and Jimmy DeYoung, very Baptist, very fundamentalist, very prophetic, very into prophecy. He did a message, and you can look it up on previous messages last week. He did a message last Monday or so, or I think it was last Monday or last week, a week ago, on Messianic Judaism versus Hebrew Christianity, and how Messianic Judaism is the authentic form of Jewish expression. A guy said to me on Facebook, what kind of cult is this? You know, I advertised a service, and he's like, what kind of, you know, what is this stuff you're doing? I said, well, if you look back at, you know, and who are you? I said, well, I was going to ask you the same thing. Who are you? So I wrote him back. And I said to him, then I answered him. I said, you know, listen, if you think back to Matthew, Mark, Paul, John, Peter, James, Philip, Thomas, Nathaniel, if you think back to those early Jewish disciples who followed their master, the Jew from Nazareth, that's what we are. We're just a modern form of Jews who follow the master. Amen? Yes. That's what we are as Messianic Jews. We're just, you think of the early, it wasn't even called a church. The early congregation, the Kehila in Hebrew. We follow the master. And going back to following, as we were talking about, you don't always follow because of leanness, because there's a flood, or because you lose your job. Sometimes things are going well. Sometimes you're making a good living, and that's how I came here. We were doing well. Don and I had good jobs. We had insurance. We had a bright future with a good ministry that took care of its people, made sure that its people prospered. I was doing well in the ministry. I was headed for leader. I was in leadership with a ministry called Jews for Jesus, and I was in leadership. I led one of the branches of Jews for Jesus, and I was, you know, I had a bright future with that ministry. And I gave it up, and Don gave up the airline to come to this place that Deborah called flyover country. And on the way, got, you know, I was in Maui. We had done 3 weeks in Honolulu. We were touring, doing Jewish gospel music and testimony in Honolulu. We finished our 2-year tour, and Don and I asked our boss, David Brickner. We said, David, can we stay on? We'd only been married a year and a half. We said, David, can Don and I stay on? It's the end of the tour. Can we extend our ticket? He bought the ticket, Jews for Jesus. Can we extend it and stay in Hawaii for a couple more weeks? He said, sure. So we extended the ticket. We rented a place in Maui. And wouldn't you know it, we knew we were called here. But the enemy said, offered me a job. We met a couple. They offered me a job paying $40,000. Running an indoor storage, climate-controlled storage facility. Now, if you've ever owned rental property, it's a pain in the rear end. Okay, you got tenants; they're gonna rock toilets, and toilets are gonna, seals are gonna break, and floods are gonna happen, or you know, bathtubs are gonna overflow down 1, 2, 3 floors. If you own an apartment building, which I did, And I've been ankle deep in water in the bottom floor of a three-story apartment building. People are gonna have guns and drugs and fights and drug dealers, and they're gonna destroy things, you know. And how was I even saying that about? Oh yeah. So when you're running a storage facility, you don't have to deal with people breaking toilets. You don't have to deal with electricity going out except in the main building, you know. You don't have to deal with people breaking your property. You're just dealing with garages full of junk. full of old stuff that's going to get moldy anyway because it's going to decay. Amen. And they offered us a 2-bedroom condo furnished, a car, a $500 food allowance, a $40,000 a year salary, a 40-hour work week, and all expenses paid, all insurance, taxes, utilities, to live in Maui. To live in Maui. If you've never been to Maui, you haven't been to paradise, okay? To live in Maui. And not only that, that same a day later, a Hawaiian Messianic Jewish lady had a little ministry. She said, Joe, I'd like to give you my ministry. She invited us over for dinner. She said, why don't you just take over my ministry for me? So there we were being handed a ministry. We knew we were called here. We knew beyond the shadow of a doubt. And I said to Dawn, let's stay in Hawaii for a couple of years. You know, we've been traveling as missionaries for 2 years. We've been ministering 6 days a week, night after night, and twice on Sunday. Doing what Deborah and Vince do, you know, singing and testifying all over the world. We went around the world and did it, and three times around the United States on a Prevo bus. And I said, Lord, I know we've worked really hard for 2 years. I know you want to give me a rest, and we'll just take a year. We'll just stop here in Maui for a year or two, and then I'll go back to Bristol. I'll go follow my calling. And I prayed for 2 weeks. I didn't hear anything. And then Dawn didn't support the idea. She didn't want to stay in Maui. I'm telling you, it's paradise. It's amazing. And Aj, is it beautiful or what? Aj is from Hawaii.
Oh, beyond words.
It's beyond words. You just, you know, when you're in Hawaii, you just go out, you wade out to waist deep. You bend over with a mask and you look in the water and you're looking in a tropical aquarium. Any beach in Hawaii, you just wade out waist deep, put a mask on, look in the water, and you're seeing a tropical aquarium. It is so magnificent that just the beauty of it out there is so magnificent. And I wanted to stay. And God didn't answer me. I prayed and prayed and prayed. And finally, after 2 weeks of praying and wasting my vacation, God spoke, and he said, Joe, you can have your paradise here on earth, or you can have it in my kingdom. You can have your paradise here on earth. You can have all your goodies. You can have your beauty. You can have your island. You can have all the things you want. Whatever it is whatever makes you, you know, thrills you. To me, living in Hawaii would have been thrilling. Whatever it is, that worldly things that you think that are going to thrill you, if you know, you can have that, or you can have paradise in my kingdom.
Amen.
Your choice. Well, you know what the answer is. You know what I chose. And it's been a hard road. I know it's been a hard road for my friend Aja there, who's in her Navy uniform. She's in her authentic Navy uniform today. You'll get to see it. She's wearing somebody sent her one of the Navy uniforms that she was in the Navy, but anyhow, sometimes God calls you out of fatness, not just leanness. He calls you, and you come with little or you come with much, but you come blind. All we knew is that we had an open door for ministry, a church. Dawn's church, where she grew up, invited us to come start our ministry. That's all they did. They didn't offer us. They offered us to use their fax machine, their copy machine. They didn't offer us people at first. They just said, "Come, and we'll help you as best we can." They didn't give us money. They just let us use their facility, and we started our ministry. And here we are, 21 years later, I'm still standing. And a lot of churches fold, a lot of pastors come and go, don't they? But here I am going through cancer treatment for the second time, and I'm still standing. Amen. Amen. And you know, I know God has a plan for my life. I know He's not done with me, and I've been telling you for 20 years that Don's going to fly airplanes. And this step, this week was an important week, because she became a captain, and she had to become a captain in order to go up to the big leagues. And she has to do it. She has to do 1,000 hours now to get up into United Airlines. And then her goal is to fly to Israel. Now she may go to, you know, who knows where she'll end up flying if she's got, you know, United has given her an invitation. Well, Lord knows what her plan is. But I believe she's going to fly us, those who are willing to go, those who are alive and remain. We may not all be here, you know, to go when the time comes. But a time is coming soon, people. Time is short. And if you don't understand the Holocaust and how the Holocaust began in 1933 when Adolf Hitler came to power, he immediately started taking away radios from Jews. One of the things he did, he took away radios, communication. Okay, imagine if you're a Bible believer, if you're a Second Amendment person, if you're a Trump supporter, you have about, you know, one TV station that you can watch, and I think you know what I'm talking about, to get news that's fair and balanced, right? And you watch, I sometimes sit there and I turn between the two or three channels at night that with the news channels, and it's different as night as day. You know, the conservative station is saying, they're saying, you know, today, you know, the president, there was no evidence presented against the president that was credible. It was all hearsay, and I was a law student, and hearsay is, you know, there was a song when I was in high school, heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who, heard it from another, you've been messing around. Okay, that's take it on the run, baby. That's the way you want it, baby. That, you know, that's hearsay, okay? Hearsay is when you can't offer as evidence what somebody else said. You have to offer what you saw. What did you see? What did you taste? What did you smell? What did you hear? What did you feel? That's evidence. I took evidence in law school. It's not hearsay. I can't say what the guy up the street saw in court. That doesn't count. He has to come and testify, and the person who's being charged has to be able to confront their accuser. Amen? They have to be able to have the right. That's under the Constitution. Under the law, you have a right, the Sixth Amendment. You look up the Sixth Amendment. You have the right to confront your accuser. Hearsay is inadmissible as evidence. And so, heard it from a friend who, heard it from a friend who, is baloney. You can't use that as evidence. So anyway, one station saying, you know, we have tons of evidence and the president is, you know, he's doomed, he's going to be impeached. And all these stations, yeah, he's over, he's done with, he's corrupt, he's crooked, he's worse than Nixon, he's even uglier, you know, they're all this stuff, you know, and his followers, they're all white supremacists, and they're deplorables, they're irredeemables, they're you know, yeah, I'm a white supremacist, I'm Jewish. I never met a Jewish white supremacist except George Soros, I think he is. George Soros is a Jewish white supremacist. You know, he's a dangerous guy. He was a Nazi. He worked with the Nazis, but that's another story. But the point is, the way that they demonized the Jews is they took away their communication, they took away their TV station, they took away their ability to communicate, they took away their guns, They took away, they destroyed their businesses. They made it impossible for people to go and, you know, do business with them. So they took away their livelihood. And they took away, they forced them not to marry Germans. It was, became against the law to marry outside, you know, a German. They cornered the Jewish people. And then they had, just last week was the anniversary, I think the 75th anniversary of Kristallnacht. Or the something, 75th or 80th anniversary of Kristallnacht was just the 9th of November, was the night of the broken glass, when the Germans broke Jewish, they went into Jewish businesses, and they broke the windows, and they raided, and they plundered, and they killed 100 Jews that night. And from then on, it became okay to beat the tar out of a Jew. From that point on, it became okay to arrest a Jew. And they started putting us in camps, and they started gathering us up right from, that was 1938. But the persecution began, it was 5 years, from 1933 to 1938. Hitler's systematic persecution of the Jews began until the point where he started killing us in 1938. And then, do you know there were over 40, there wasn't just six concentration camps. There were 44,000 work camps, death camps, places. They might have been small. It might have been as big as this congregation. You know, some of them were very small, where they worked and starved Jews and killed Jews and gypsies and gays and other undesirables. There weren't, the six concentration camps is where they did it in massive numbers, but there were actually 44,000 throughout Germany and Poland. I was blown away. I found that, just learned that figure this week, you know, just this past week. So, bottom line is, guys, time is short. Dawn and Revelation. I was going to read this. I'm preaching to you. This is a very short sermon, but Revelation 12:14. We're here to celebrate today because prophecy. This is coming. Things are coming to pass that I've been saying for 20 years, and I'm so grateful. I can't tell you how I looked forward to this day. And I want to thank, some of the people aren't even here. They're out there getting ready, and they're getting the dinner, you know, ready. But I'm so grateful to the people who helped get this day ready and prepared, you know. And I wanted to also bless the people who've helped our ministry, people who, you know, I won't name names. Many of you have served, volunteered with the newsletter. Some of you have come. Some of you have helped me and sat by me. Well, I've had cancer treatment for the last 3 weeks. My wife's been away, and I'm grateful because she was only with me 1 week. She won't be with me next week. She'll be flying. And I've had to sit there and go through treatment while she's away. And then I have to get a fever afterward, and I have to deal with it by myself. And thank God, a few people have brought meals and helped me through the week with to feed my boys and to feed me. You know, a few people have done that. I'm grateful for those who have helped. Revelation 12:14, I want to bless you, those of you who I invited today. I only invited people that I wanted to bless you. This is my day to express my thanks for what you've done for us. And so this day is for you too. In Revelation 12:14 says, "But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place where she was nourished for a time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent." Well, if you read this chapter, you'll know clearly that the woman is Israel. And it begins off talking about the woman as Mary, the mother of Yeshua, of Jesus. But then it says, you know, when it starts going into stuff like she was given two wings of the great eagle to fly into the wilderness, or in Hebrew that's the desert, the Bamidbar in the desert, to her place where she was nourished and hidden for time, times, and half a time. which is basically interpreted as 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent, of the devil. The serpent is the devil. You know, that's not Mary. Mary didn't go into the desert for 3.5 years. She didn't fly. She wasn't given the two wings of the great eagle. This is talking about Israel, the mother Israel. Amen? It goes from talking about the mother of the Messiah to mother Israel, the mother of the Jewish people and the people of God. Amen? Not in a Catholic sense, but it's talking about basically the woman is Israel. The woman represents Israel. And she was given the wings of the great eagle. And I always saw my wife, Dawn, as a, you know, she's a pilot, as a type of that woman. I always saw her for 20, 21 years. I've seen my wife. She's going to fly. God showed me this. I've been saying it for 2 decades. She's going to fly jets, and she's going to help fly the Jewish people back to Israel, and Christians too. It's happening. Wake up. You know, I said I gave a message 4 years ago in 2016, 9 months before Donald Trump was elected. I preached on this pulpit 3 sermons, and I said Donald Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. Donald Trump's going to destroy ISIS. Donald Trump's going to, the economy's going to take off when Donald Trump becomes president. And you know what? I didn't listen to my own advice. I said, the stock market's going to take off the day he becomes president. Do you know it grew 40%? The market overall grew 40% that year. How many of you get 40% returns on your bank accounts? Anybody? How many of you have ever gotten 40% return on anything? Raise your hand. It's very rare to get 40%, you know, I mean, it's not a normal. Most people get, you know, 5%, 7%. You're really doing well if you get 10%, you know. And you know what? Why I'm saying this? I preached it, and I didn't listen. Oh, I didn't invest. I said it. I preached it. God showed me. I've been reading Daniel 8 for a whole year. And you know, somebody said to me, they said, Rabbi Joe, they said, That's talking about Alexander the Great. That's not talking about Donald Trump. Yeah, I've heard that. And so I want to ask you a question. Was Joseph a type of Jesus? Was Joshua? I had Pastor Jimmy Davidson, former pastor of Highlands Fellowship, asked me the other day. He said, Joe, I was surprised on Facebook. He said, Joe, I was surprised to hear that Jesus' name in English is Joshua. Is that true? I said, actually, Jimmy, in Hebrew, Joshua is Yehoshua, and Jesus' name in Hebrew is Yeshua. Yehoshua means God is salvation. It's pointing to Yeshua. God, it's a big difference between God is salvation and Yeshua, which means salvation. That's a big difference, right? Yeah. So Yeshua's name is in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 12, Hine El Yeshua T, behold, God is my salvation, Yeshua T. I will trust and will not be afraid, for the Lord my God is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation, my Yeshua, my salvation. Yeshua means salvation. He is. Joshua was pointing to it. He was a type. Was Moses a type of Yeshua, of Jesus? Did miracles? Amen? He was a type of Yeshua. He was like a king. You know, was David a type of Yeshua? Amen. He was. So what's my point? Was Alexander, is it possible that Alexander the Great, who is basically out, laid out and talked about, who just defeated Persia in Daniel 8, is it possible that he was a type of Donald Trump? What? Who's going to defeat Persia? Iran. Who's going to stop Iran, who's threatening right now? It's in the news this week and almost every week. They're threatening to, they've said they've got new weapons ready to destroy Israel. It was in the news last week. They got new weapons ready to destroy Israel. They got so many rockets and missiles pointed at Israel. The only country that has the ability to destroy, this is what God showed me. I preached it in February of 2016. God showed me the only country in the West, even though it says it's a goat from Greece in Daniel 8, that goat from Greece is Donald Trump. And it says, this prophecy, Daniel, is not for now. The angel came and said, it's for the end, very end of time. It's for, twice he said it. It's the time of the indignation, which is the very last, very end of days. And so what God showed me is in Daniel 8 was that the only person, leader from the West who could fly over the whole earth. And by the way, Alexander didn't fly, but if you read Daniel 8, it says this goat from the West that attacks Persia flew over the whole earth without touching the ground. Some guy that argued with me that said it's Alexander the Great said, well, that meant he went fast. Yeah, allegory is used and metaphor is used in the Bible, but when it says he flew over the whole earth without touching the ground, if it said he flew like, if it said he moved like lightning, that would be he went fast. But to say he flew without touching the ground is a literal interpretation. Okay, and I'm not going to go into the four methods of Jewish interpretation, Peshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. I'm not going to go into that today. But there's four methods of interpretation of the Bible in Judaism. And that's not a literal, that's a literal interpretation. Peshat means literal. And when it says, so the guy that, there's only one guy in the whole world, one guy who can defeat Iran's nuclear capability. It's Donald Trump. The same guy that killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi 2-3 weeks ago, the same guy that found him and hunted him down and cut the head off of ISIS temporarily anyway, we still got to go back and keep finishing the job until they're still trying to keep coming back. But the only person who can defeat Iran's military and Iran's nuclear capability in the end time, which is now, this prophecy of Daniel 8 about defeating Iran, is now. It's now. Iran cannot get nuclear weapons. They just cannot have them. It's now, guys. I preached it 4 years ago, and I said it, And I said the economy's going to go off, and I didn't listen to my own words. I didn't invest, and I could kick myself. A year and a half ago, I saw Dollar Generals popping up all over the place, and I said, you know what? And I noticed that my employees in my business couldn't afford cars anymore. They're getting poor people can't afford cars. People making $8 an hour, you know, can't buy a car without help. Okay? They just can't do it. Am I right, Isaac? You, without help, you can't do it today. Only half the people at where he works, a big chain restaurant, very famous golden restaurant. Only half the people have cars. So when you live in a neighborhood, I'm saying, why are they putting Dollar Generals in neighborhoods like, you know, where, who would go there? The people who live there, who don't have cars. And they're putting, if you notice, they're putting Dollar Generals in every neighborhood, where, especially lower, you know, work, rental neighborhoods, tougher neighborhoods, they're putting them in there. Because the people that used to go to Walmart's becoming like a fancy store for those people. They can't get there, and the prices are higher. But Dollar General, you can get everything. You can shop. And I said, you know what? Their stock's going to take off. I said about a year and a half ago, I should buy some Dollar General stock. You know what I did? Nothing. And you know what Dollar General stock did? It went up 48%. 48%. If you had $100,000 in savings and you just put it in Dollar General a year and a half ago, you'd have $148,000 now. Wow, that's not too shabby, Rabbi. Amen? But you've got to act. What's my point? You've got to act. When you hear the truth, listen to me. I'm just using the money thing is about, you know, when you hear the truth, you must act on it. If you sit by and you don't act, when you hear the truth, and Deborah and Vince were called, and they God called them, and they didn't listen, and they got trouble for not listening. If you don't listen to God, trouble's going to come. Sure as sugar. And trouble's coming to River City, I'm telling you. The United States is headed for trouble. We're living in two countries with different ideologies. We're 50 million people, you know, believe one way, and 50 million people believe another way. And that caused, you know, somebody said to me, the Russians came out with an article saying America's in a cultural civil war. Well, guess what, folks? Cultural civil wars lead to physical bloodbaths. Amen? Do you know that by 1920, over 100 million people died? By 1920? I'm glad I'm preaching so well. I'm causing someone to get great rest. It's okay. He needs to sleep. Let him go down and sleep on the couch. He's been sick. Honey. Let him go down and sleep on the couch. It'd be good for him. Okay. He needs to sleep. It's good for him. So anyway, we got to listen. We got to act, guys. Time is short. Donald Trump's not going to be around forever. And if you don't want socialism, you know, even the billionaires are terrified of Lizzie Wild Warrior. What's her name? Warren. Yeah. Raging Possum. I'm more Native American than she is. I'm 1% Native American, 99% Eastern European Jewish. I don't know where I got the Native American in there, but I can't figure that one out. God will have to show me when I get to heaven, you know. But I'm 99% Eastern European Jewish. Okay, that's pretty Jewish enough for me, and for God, I think. What's my point is, what's coming when Donald Trump's gone is they're going to go for your wallets. They're going to go for your guns. They're going to go for your Bibles. They're going to go for your freedom. They're going to take your cars. Oh, yeah, no cars. Oh, they can drive around in private jets, but you can't. You know, you can't. You're going to have to, all these laws about putting making your house green and putting solar panels, you're going to spend a fortune. You're going to be in so much debt up to your eyeballs, the government's going to own you, not just you in this room, but you watching, the government's going to own your hind end. They're going to own you. You're going to have to sell your house. No, you're not going to be able to make enough money to pay for all the billionaires are scared. They're coming out and saying Mark Cuban, the guy on Shark Tank, is against Elizabeth Warren, another big billionaire. Bloomberg, he's worth $50 billion. He doesn't want Liz Warren. He just got into the presidential race. You know, they don't want that. Amen. But we have to get ready, and the answer is Aliyah. The answer is Aliyah, is for those who love Israel, love the Jewish people, and those who see the handwriting on the wall for America. Aliyah is the answer. And for Vince and Deborah, I've been saying, I said 5 years ago, I was in Calabasas, and I got a word. I think I shared that with you. My people have managed to get themselves halfway around the world from home. And I gave a word to Deborah, what's her name, the blonde gal? Corey. Our friend, Jean Nigro. when Gene Nigro moved out of L.A. 5-6 years ago, I said, the Lord gave me a word for you. By getting out of Southern California, you will save your life. That's what he said to me, to tell her. I told her that word 5 or 6 years ago. By leaving Southern California, you will save your life. She left. But she was already going. But I said, I just confirmed it to her. This is the word I got. And I have 75 relatives there, at least, in California. I see how easily people could be trapped. The freeways, if you get trapped at rush hour, let alone an earthquake or a fire, it's a tinderbox waiting to go. It really is. And people need to wake up. And, man, enough. I think you get my point. Amen? But you need to act. If God's speaking to you to move, if he's speaking to you to a calling to ministry, if he's telling you to do something, do it! Stop sitting down waiting and waiting. Do what you can do. And if you don't have the word, some people, Haggai says, write the word, the prophetic word, on tablets so that the messenger can run with it. And some of the people in this room have been taking that prophetic message I just shared with you, and they've been running with it. And I said 4 years ago, Donald Trump's going to destroy ISIS. The economy's going to take off when he becomes president. I wasn't a Trump supporter. I supported Ted Cruz. I wasn't even a Trump supporter. But I saw he was the only one who could defeat Iran and would do it, have the chutzpah to do it. I saw, and it said that a goat that would defeat Iran would be a male goat. I knew it wasn't Hillary. I knew Bernie wasn't going to go to war with Iran. And I said, the only one of these people that is Donald Trump. It was, God showed me. And he showed me that he would help Israel. He moved the embassy to Jerusalem. He's so supportive of Israel and working with Israel to defeat terrorism and to defeat, he's so supportive of Israel, but yet American Jews, many of them, they mostly despise him. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. They're so blinded. But I said that he would, he would take the oil. Do you know what he did? It was in the news a couple weeks ago. He said, he said to Exxon, let's take the oil in Syria, that ISIS had taken in Syria. You can Google this. Donald Trump talks to Exxon about taking the oil in northern Syria. They need to be paid. We need to be paid for our services. And he said he'll take the oil. Amen? And he's going to help the Jews go home. Because the two wings of the great eagle, and this is the end of my message, is not just an airplane that John saw. The two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman to fly her people into the wilderness for time, times, and half a time. The two wings of the great eagle are the United States military, Navy, Air Force, the Navy, the Air Force, and civilian airplanes being given to help the Jewish people, and even cruise ships, carnivals owned by Jews, Israelis, are going to be used to help the Jewish people go back to Israel. And you know what? Only a remnant will go, and Christians, only a remnant of Christians. And others will stay here. And it's not going to be good for many. Some will survive. Some won't. Many won't. Many will not survive what's coming to this country. I tell you. And this country will be divided. Daniel 8 says it'll be divided into 4 separate countries. And I don't care what you think about what I'm saying. Pray about it. I've always tell people, don't take my word for it. Pray about what I'm saying. Study the word to show thyself approved. You can think I'm nuts, but I've been right about everything I've said so far. All the things I said about Donald Trump 4 years ago in this newsletter, The Last President of the United States, Part 1 and Part 2, everything that's come to pass Fred, am I right on? About 80% of it's come to pass. 80% of it. And guess what? I'm going to mark my word and remember this day. Donald Trump's going to be the next president of the United States. He's going to win the election. He's not going to be impeached. And he's going to finish his work. Because God put him in office, yes. I'm going to say what the news media thinks is crazy. God put Donald Trump in office. God anointed him. And more than Jehu, which is the big thing that everybody likes to say, he's Jehu. Jehu killed half of Israel. Donald Trump's not going to kill Israel. He's a Cyrus. He's going to help the Jews go home. He's going to help the Jews go home. Don't just take what you're fed, pray about it, study it, and show thyself approved. And if somebody's watching and you want one of these newsletters, just contact our ministry. You're online, and you can reach out to us. But the two wings of the great eagle is not just jets, it's the U.S. military. Because what's going to stop those planes flying filled with Jews and Christians leaving this country that my wife may be flying, helping to fly some of them, not all of them, but some of them back? What's going to stop our enemies from blowing those planes out of the skies with SAMs, with, you know, surface-to-air missiles? What's going to stop it? The U.S. military flying alongside. I guarantee, you mark my words, Donald Trump's going to do it because he has nothing to lose in his second term. He has nothing to lose by doing it. That's my message. And God bless you all. Thank you for your service to this ministry. Thank you for your service, those who came. I invited, personally invited. I invited you because I wanted to bless you. And we're going to have a beautiful meal in a few minutes. I'm going to let Deborah do a couple more songs. And we'll have communion, and then we'll go eat. We're going to take an offering. So we'll just take one offering. And so here's the deal. If you have tithes for this congregation, we'll go in the big... you have envelopes. If you want, you can put them in either the back. I like to keep it separate. So if you want to give to Deborah and Vince, we're going to take a love offering for them. Put it in the basket there. And if you have a tithe for this congregation or a gift that you want for this congregation, put it in the box, the big box, and just differentiate on paper, in the envelope, what you want to do. If you're giving online, you can give securely on PayPal, and we appreciate your support. We exist. The only way we're able to function and continue doing this work is by your contribution. So thank you for giving online. We're grateful. God bless you. And let me pray, Father, bless these offerings now. Now, who do they make a check out to, Deborah and Vince, if they're making...
Deb Klein.
We'll just say Deb Klein. D-E-B-K-L-I-N-E. Deb Klein. And just make it to Deb Klein if you're going to make a check to their ministry. We're going to bless... Let's bless them. And... if you have a gift to For Zion's Sake, just make it to For Zion's Sake Ministries. And God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for these offerings now. And Deborah's going to sing she's going to do, and then I'm going to turn it back over to her, do a couple more songs. And then we'll have communion and we'll go down and eat. But we just thank you, Lord. Bless the giver and bless the gift 100-fold. And help us, Lord, to act. Help us, Lord, to get our heads out of the sand and stop watching the world go by like the fool on the hill. He sat there and watched the world go by, but he didn't do anything. Lord, help us to be doers and not just those who sit and watch. And help us, stir us up, Lord. Give us the faith like Deborah and Vince to move from California to this crazy place called the South. Thank you, Lord. Help people to have that kind of faith, to trust you, Lord, to trust you when they can't see what you're going to do, when they can't see where their money's going to come from, when they can't see where their income's going to come from, when they can't see how they're going to live or whatever, or they're going to have to live off their savings. Help them to trust you when you call them, to follow you and do it. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let's bring our offerings. God bless you. Thank you.
We're going to skip over the next song on the PowerPoint. And we're going to do a song that I really wish we wrote, but we did not. It is one of the most beautiful songs written by Marty Goetz, but I found it appropriate as we are starting this whole new season and this beautiful prayer written in song.
On this
Let's do a little messianic aerobics before we eat. That way, just for those who didn't come, have a double portion.
Adonai Machasenu.
Well, it was awesome.
Thank you so much, Rob, for having us come today. And it's so good seeing all of you. And I guess we'll see everybody soon out there. And we did bring CDs that'll be out there that make, by the way, very good Hanukkah presents. So,
amen. I'm just gonna have communion and go to the Lord's table as we go on the way out. So, what I'm gonna do is invite you to come and serve yourself as we leave, and I'll pray over it, and we'll walk out. Maybe they could play something soft on the way out, and we'll, as we make our way over to the other building. Okay, so there's. Unless somebody, should I get somebody to serve? Yeah. You want to serve? Mm-hmm. Captain? Okay. And how about Sharon, would you like to come and serve with Dawn? Okay. All right, let's pray. And folks at home, if you'd like to join us, if you have some bread or matzah, crackers, some grape juice, and you'd like to come to the Lord's table, people ask me, they say, I hear leaders say, we do it once a quarter. We do it once, twice a year. They go to the Lord's table twice a year. And the word for communion is koinonia in Greek. And it has to do with the word for intimacy between a husband and a wife. And so I often, when people say to me they do it once a year or twice, once a quarter, I say, is that how often you have intimacy with your wife? Really, that's what I say to them. Because that's what it's, this is intimacy with your bridegroom. Amen. This is how you express, this is the sacrament of coming to the Lord's table is how we express our intimacy. It's the method, it's the sacrament he left us. Yes, you have intimacy in prayer, in your quiet space, in your prayer closet. I get that. But this is the way he gave the whole body of Messiah. He said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. And what you're doing, you're coming to an altar. You're coming to a marriage altar. And you're meeting your bridegroom here, and you're drinking of his, not literally his blood, not literally his flesh, but it's a holy sacrament. It represents what he did for you, and you're proclaiming to the world that you received his grace, you've received forgiveness, you believe he's the Messiah, you believe he's the Son of God, you believe that he died for your sins, you believe that he was buried 3 days and 3 nights, you believe that he rose from the dead, and you believe that he's coming to take you home, you believe that you're going to spend eternity with him in paradise like the thief on the cross, you believe that death has lost its sting and that you're going to go from this life into the next without pain. Amen? And there'll be no more pain and no more tears. You believe that he's forgiven your sins by coming to this table. You believe all the promises that God has given us through his Son. Amen? Yes. And so that's what you're saying to the world. I believe. And Lord, I receive. I receive what you have to give me. So I'm going to bless it. And then you come. And then you can make your way out. And Deborah and Vince will meet you down there at the fellowship hall. We'll let them slip out. One way, I just want to tell folks, you can go down these stairs back here and cross the parking lot to the fellowship hall. We have a marvelous Thanksgiving meal spread, prepared, much more than any of us could all eat. It's huge, I'm sure. And then please stay for lunch. So I'm going to bless. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pri hagafen, Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Amotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Amen.
Amen.
we invite you to come. If you're a believer in the Messiah, you don't have to be a member here. As long as you believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, that he died for your sins, and that you receive the gift of eternal life and forgiveness through him, through his blood, then we welcome you to come, whatever your background is. And just come as you're ready, and just you can take it and consume it on your way out. You don't have to wait for me, okay? And ladies, if you'll serve them afterward. Thank you.
Okay. Ready.
Take this.
Sings my soul.
Whoop glory. As my friend Sam Smith would say.
We were watching how that song was written and what that man went through.
Oh, my goodness.
He lost his entire family. Except for his wife on a boat.
Except for his wife, right?
She said none survived. Yet he...
He didn't... Oh, you take him. None of his children survived, huh? Horrible. So, do you guys want to come down and eat, and then come back, and we'll do that?
Yeah.
You want to do it that way?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just shut the sound off.